With a quick review, so we had in the Mishnah that the Tcheles is not ma'akiv the Lavan, and that the Lavan is not ma'akiv the Tcheles. Can somebody remind me of what exactly that means? What does it mean that the Tcheles is not ma'akiv the Lavan?
You can do one and not the other.
Can someone be more specific? You can do one and not the other. What does it mean?
No, you do the Lavan. You get a mitzvah for love. If you don't have tailors, you have only love on. You do love on, it's fine. You're done. You get a kiss from Hashem. You do love.
How many strings of love on should you do? How many?
Originally, you should do
two. We said two.
So if you have both the tcheles and the lavan, you're supposed to have two tcheles and two lavan according to Tosfos, right? Or three and one according to the Ravid.
Right.
If you don't have the tcheles, then what should you do?
Then you do four.
Four, okay, so tcheles is na ma'akev the lavan means have four white. And what does it mean that the lavan is na ma'akev the tcheles?
Let's say you don't have any white, you can do four.
Four blue, okay, excellent. So that's whose pshat? That's Rashi's pshat. Right, Rashi said that. Did we have any other interpretations of the Mishnah?
We went through different scenarios, right? Or is that all the Gemara?
Well, there was a parallel between the tefillin and the tzitzis. We said that by tefillin, when we said that shel rosh is not ma'akiv the shel yad, that means...
If you don't have a shel yad, you put the shel rosh.
Just the shel rosh on. So the parallel to that in tzitzis was?
Two and two.
You should have two white.
Two
white and two
blue.
Okay, so that was the pshat of Tosfos, even though Tosfos acknowledged that we don't paskin that way, but Tosfos felt that that seemed to be the clearest reading of the Mishnah. So those are the two pshatim that we had yesterday. Today, we'll, Be'ezves Hashem, we'll see two more pshatim, and then next Monday, hopefully, we'll see the fifth pshat. So before we even go further on in the Gemara, I want to just call your attention to one word, which is an important word in the Gemara, and this is the word virabanan. So if everyone could just look in their Gemaras, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, skim down the lines of the Gemara, it should be on about the fifth or sixth line after the Mishnah, until you find the word virabanan. And again, just reminding you what's happening, the Mishnah said that Tcheles is not Ma'akiv Lavan, and that Lavan is not Ma'akiv Tcheles. The Gemara suggested, Lema, let's suggest that maybe the Mishnah reflects the opinion not of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but rather of somebody else, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi, maintained the position that Tcheles is Ma'akiv Lavan, and that Lavan is Ma'akiv Tcheles. And the Mishnah says that Tcheles is not Ma'akiv Lavan, and Lavan is not Ma'akiv Tcheles, and it's harder to think of more diametrically opposite positions, either yes or no, than it is Ma'akiv, it's not Ma'akiv. Rabbi says it is Ma'akiv, the Mishnah says it's not Ma'akiv. So the Gemara suggested, Lema Masnisin Deloka Rabbi, let's say that the Mishnah is against the opinion of Rabbi, and then it proceeded to quote the Braisa, that the Chachamim say Tcheles is not Ma'akiv the Lavan, Rabbi says Tcheles is Ma'akiv the Lavan. The Gemara asked, Mai Taima de Rabbi, what's the reason for Rabbi? What's his basis in Psukim for maintaining that one is Ma'akiv the other? And it told us that Hakanaf means the material that the garment is made out of, either the same wool like the garment is wool, or the same color like the garment is white. That's Hakanaf mean Kanaf, and it says you should put onto the Kanaf a Pesil Techeles, a blue string, and then the Torah refers together to Uri Isem, Oso, you should see it. Now you should see them, the white, the Min HaKanaf, and the blue, but rather you should see it. For Rabbi, that it indicates in the singular that we're supposed to treat the Techeles and the Lavan as a single entity. And right after that, the Gemara has that word, Virabanan. So can somebody remind me what the word Virabanan means?
How can they explain the passage?
Right, so that's like when you have a debate, right? So you'll turn to one debater, to one party in the debate, and say, okay, so please state your opinion, and he'll say, my opening statement is, Hakanaf, Min Kanaf, that's the white, Psil Tcheles, that's the blue, Uri Temoto, singular, it combines them, it tells you that they're all one, and now that you're done with your opening statement, we turn to the other party, to the debate, and we ask for a rebuttal, we ask for a response to that opening statement, and that's the Gemara's Virabanan. Okay, rabbis, what do you say? Now, I have two questions to ask you about this word, virabonon. And I want to preface these questions with a story that that I remember hearing when I was very young. And the story goes is that there were some boys in yeshiva, and the Rebbe was giving them a bechina, and he asked them, he said, boys, on Erev Shabbos, when you're cleaning the floors for Shabbos, what do you use to sweep the floor? So they started to be mefalpel and say, maybe you should sweep the floor with your beard, or you should sweep the floor with a dustpan, because like if the Rebbe's asking the question, so then there obviously is some sort of an amkos to it. And finally the Rebbe said, you know, sometimes the answer is just what it sounds like the answer is, that you sweep the floor with a broom. So I'm going to ask a question which I don't want you to try to find any amkos in, and it's a very, very simple question, and that is, right, what do we see from this word virabanan? Right, what does this word virabanan tell us? We know how it's functioning in the Gemara. It's asking, it's providing the Rabbanan an opportunity to present a rebuttal to the position of Rabbi. But what do we see? Right, some perhaps very obvious things. What do we see from the word itself that we use, and from the Gemara's simply offering the Rabbanan an opportunity to present their rebuttal? Okay, so one thing that we see is that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi, right? We see that, and that's also reflected in the Braisa as well. The Braisa said, "V'achachamim omrim ein ma'akvin." So that's one thing that we see from the Rabbanan. Is there anything else that we see from the word Rabbanan?
They have to interpret the pasuk differently.
That the Gemara understands that they can't subscribe to the same interpretation as Rabbi does. Very good. Anything else? That they're the majority. Excellent. Right? Boaz is coming up with a very important point. This is not too deep. This is actually a matter of controversy. It's a matter of controversy. We'll discover on Amud Beis that there is a line in the Gemara that seems to indicate that the disputing opinion is not a majority, but rather is a minority. Right? And the Ramban points out to this word virabanan to prove to us, right, that it actually is a majority who argue on Rabbi rather than a minority. So that is an excellent inference. A minority of Chachma, perhaps. Meaning it, right, it might have been a Yachid who's not on Rabbi's Madriga. Excellent, yeah, exactly.
Rabbanan, honestly, what's the question? What's going on? We already said Chachamim say this, and Rebbe said this. What do we want now, Rabbanan?
Rebbe opened up by saying, this is how I read the psukim. The psukim seem to support my reading. They talk about the Treles and the Lavan in singular. And now we give the Rabbanan an opportunity to present a rebuttal, right, where we say to them, how do you read the psukim? How do you interpret the singular, where according to you that it's two separate mitzvos, or that they're not ma'akiv one another, we would have expected it to be plural. So let me give you a mashal for the other thing that I thought of that we can see from this virabanan. Let's say that you're at a debate, a presidential debate, and somebody in the audience gets up and says, I challenge what you say, Mr. Candidate. So is the moderator going to give the member of the audience time to challenge, or is it not the position of members of the audience to participate in the debate? The debate is only for the participants who were invited and who are of a stature, right, to compete. I think I've given it away. From the fact that the Gemara offers the Rabbanan an opportunity to present a rebuttal, right, that shows, again, it's a simple thing. I'm not looking for something deep. That they're of a stature, right, to participate in the debate, that the Gemara is not discounting the opinion of the Rabbanan and saying, well, Rebbe, it's so obvious that Rebbe is right, or that the consensus agrees with Rebbe, that we don't even need to look into to give the Rabbanan an opportunity to argue. If anything, the Gemara seems to be indicating that it favors the opinion of the Rabbanan, and therefore it's giving them the opportunity to defend their opinion, in order that we should end up saying that the favored opinion is clearly defensible in the reading of the psukim. So that, I think, is a second thing that we can see from the Rabbanon. The Gemara is giving the rabbis an opportunity to rebut Rabbi's position that seems to indicate that the Rabbanon feel, that the Gemara feels that the Rabbanon are sort of a level, that they're, that we're giving them the opportunity to participate in this debate and to defend their position so that ultimately they can emerge from the debate with a position which is clearly articulated and well defended. Okay. So with that in mind, I think that we can proceed to the next line of the Gemara. Again, someone remind me, the Gemara started off by saying Lema Mastisin to Loka Rebbe, then it got a little bit sidetracked with the discussion of the scriptural roots of the opinions of Rebbe and the Chachamim, and now the Gemara is getting back on track and it repeats the question. So the Gemara says Lema de Loka Rebbe. Is everyone there? We're 5 lines from the bottom, 3 words from the end of the line. I really would like if Alvin could have a Gemara too.
So modest.
I know.
Which one do you need?
Here. Sometimes letters are good to have in front of you, whether.
Okay.
Just to make me comfortable. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, babe.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. So,
I'm
thinking
the Ifrit type. I don't know. Well, I'm the Ikra Tarvani. What is that?
No, we just gave the last one.
I don't know. What is that? Together one. What is it?
Until the two, the Tcheles and the Lavan, are together like one. That's the only way that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. But if you don't have them together, if you're missing one of them, so then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Then, if you're missing one, if you don't have the two of them together, so then you don't have anything. It's either both or nothing. No partial credit. No partial credit for tzitzis. Exactly.
What are you saying? No partial credit.
The
passage
just says to have both.
The singular.
Only according to
Rebbe. Right, but the fact that we use the singular rather than the plural, that Rebbe is in, it's a diuk. It's not explicit in the pasuk. Okay, so you favor the opinion of the Rabbanon, right? Which is what I inferred from the Gemara is what the Gemara does as well.
Maybe you do one or the other. Whatever you got, you do.
That's the Rabbanon, exactly.
But
it's the same thing, just that Chachamim is Hebrew and Rabbanon is Aramaic. Okay, so that's a little bit different. So it's a good point. The parallel is not exact. So the Gemara says, Lema Deloka Rebbe. So we repeat the question. Let's say that the Mishnah is against Rebbe. And Rebbe Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, Afilu Tema Rebbe. Even if you say that the Mishnah is Rebbe, the Mishnah is still going to read very smoothly. How is that? Rebbe says, Tcheles is Ma'akiv Lavan. The Mishnah says, Tcheles is not Ma'akiv Lavan. So Rebbe Yehuda explains to us, Lo Nitzricha, the Mishnah is only necessary, Ela Lekadim. Lo Nitzricha, it's not needed, Ela only Lekadim, to take precedence, proceed. Right? Ma'ona Lo Kekadim, early. Something should be earlier, something else should be. Lehakdim,
yes.
Okay, we can go with either girsa, and I'm not going to go to the side, to the Shita Mekubetzes, and back and forth again.
Because it's just proper evil.
Okay, lehakdim, right, that something ought to go earlier, and if it doesn't go earlier, so then it's not me'ake, the tzitzis are still kosher, even if the thing which ought to have been placed earlier was not placed earlier. That's what it means, that it's not me'ake. And then Gemara quotes a braisa, where do we know anything about something coming earlier or something coming later in tzitzis? Titanya, as a braisa tells us, mitzvah lehakdim lavan l'teiles, it's a mitzvah to put lavan before the teiles, the imhiktim techeles lelavan, but if one put the techeles before the lavan, so then yatsa, he fulfilled his obligation, he went out of the bad place of not having fulfilled his obligation and into the good place of the land of fulfillment. So imhiktim techeles lelavan yatsa, ella, except that if he put the techeles first, shechiser mitzvah, he's missing a mitzvah. So that is an excellent question. What does... Right, what does first mean? Any suggestions? What does first mean?
Put it in.
You're supposed to put the lavan first. So Mr. Amster is suggesting consonant with Rashi, that when you are putting the tzitzis strings into the hole of the beged, so you're first supposed to put in the white string or strings, right? And then after you put in the white string, then you should put in the blue strings. Now, if I were putting in a tzitzis, I would just put in all four strings together, right? And that just is efficient. So the Gemara is telling us that we're not interested in efficiency in the manufacture of tzitzis, according to Rashi, but rather we're interested in some sort of a symbolism, in indicating that something is more special, takes more priority over something else. The white is perhaps a little bit more holy, a little bit more special, and the way that we demonstrate that is by putting the white in first. That's what Rashi maintains. Can anyone...
You mean that the three corners first, and then the fourth corner, which has a chelet, you put it last?
Because there's, in each corner, there's going to be two or three strings of...
Of course, definitely.
It's not only tzitzis, only one string from all...
On each of the...
One string on each corner?
On each corner, there's supposed to be either half or one or two strings of chelet. You need to bring... Does anyone here wear Rabbi Schachter tzitzis?
He has a
tchilas, right? So we'll have to... I went out yesterday and I bought some yarn. So when we get to the proper points in the Gemara, we'll have some live demonstrations of how exactly to tie different, you know, tzitzis according to different opinions. But right. But for now, right, the idea is in...
I don't understand, but if you put them in the corner, they're all going together. How can you put the white before the blue?
So I've got four strings here,
yeah.
Right? And so what I would do is I first would put in two white strings. And then after that, I would put in two
don't
blue
you
strings.
Put them all together and then you it all at the same time.
Ah, so that's what the Gemara is saying. If you were doing it efficiently, right, then that's what you would do. For the sake of efficiency, put all four strings together and then put them all in at the same time. The Bryce is telling me, mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'tchilas. The mitzvah is to first put in two white strings, and then once the two white strings are in, then to put in two blue strings.
Let me ask you a question. When you put in the lulav, yeah, you're putting the adasim and the torim and the alavos all together. Does it matter which one goes in first? Yeah. When you take them out? Doesn't make difference. You have to go mitzvah as a whole.
Okay, so let me rephrase your question. What difference does it make which string you put in first and which string you put in second? What difference does it make? So there's two possible suggestions over here. One suggestion is made by the Shita Mikubetzes, and the Shita Mikubetzes says that the goal here is that we sacrifice efficiency for the sake of chibuv mitzvah, showing how precious and how important the mitzvos are to us. Now, how does this show anything? It shows us, right, that the goal here, number one, is not simply to get it over with. We're going to spend the minimum amount of time necessary manufacturing the tzitzis. Perhaps we want to linger over the manufacture of tzitzis, the same way that many people have a custom of kissing the tefillin, right, a couple of times as they're wrapping it up. It's chibuv mitzvah. It shows that it's something that we enjoy being involved in, right? I remember, you know, going on a date. Right, so if you like the girl, so then you'll drive very, very slowly. You'll try to catch all the red lights, and that way you get to talk to her, you know, more, you know, a little bit longer. If it wasn't so good, you know, at the lounge or the restaurant, so then, you know, you'll drive a little bit more quickly. So there's this idea of chibuv mitzvah. When you enjoy something, so you linger over it, and so there may be a kiyum, right, to lingering over the manufacture of tzitzis. However, right, if that were all there was to it, so then it wouldn't make a difference which one you put in first, whether it's the lavan or whether it's the cheles. The point would simply be put the strings in one by one instead of all four together. The Gemara seems to tell us that there's a particular order that we're supposed to put it in, which I think may indicate to us that there's a value, that each string or each color possesses a certain value, and that we're not just putting on the tzitzis as like just something, that each element of the tzitzis, each component has a particular value, and by putting one first and the other one second, we're showing that there's a hierarchy of values over here, which indicates that this is something worthwhile. Something of value is something of worth. The tzitzis is something worthwhile. There's a chiba here. There's a love for it, and absent that, perhaps the manufacture of tzitzis would fail to indicate this important principle.
How did you get to the point that the white is more valuable than the blue?
So the Gemara said yesterday, the white is very easily available. God says, like, you know, you talk about...
Wouldn't it be worth less than the blue?
Okay, so this is, again, very complicated. The Chazon Ish gives an interesting mashal. He says, nowadays gold is more valuable than potatoes, right? He said, but let's say, right, and that's because Hashem did us a tremendous chesed. Hashem created the things that we need the most in the greatest abundance, and the things that we need the least with the most scarcity. And so there's a big chesed that the things that we need the most, air, water, right, the basic staples are abundant, and those things that are scarce are things that we don't really need much, like precious metals and things like that. So the Chazon Ish says, but think for a second, let's say that there was a potato famine, let's say that there was chas v'chalila, a scarcity. Would it cross anybody's mind, right, to keep back the gold in order to, you know, to have more gold and fewer potatoes? He says people would spend all of their money, right, in all of their precious metals just to get a couple of potatoes, right, in years of famine, because what's really the most precious to us is what we have the greatest need for. The reason nowadays is that metal, it helps us store up, you know, the results of our labor, so that he gets a whole economic theory on the basis of it. So the same thing is that the lavan is more necessary, just like potatoes are more necessary. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in the greatest abundance. The tcheles, which is more scarce, right, even though perhaps in some way the scarcity gives it a measure of chashivos, but at the same time, right, the scarcity also indicates to us that it perhaps is a little bit less necessary in the greater scheme of things. Yeah.
So therefore, there is a tendency to say that white is preferred because we have a pasuk Kali Oros, and it has a symbolism to the or. So that's that would be
for
that it's more abundant.
Oh, so it's not even right. Meaning that we can even give a name to what the chashivos is of the white. It represents purity. It represents chesed. It represents the lihidamot la kadosh baruch hu. Kadosh baruch hu dresses in a white talis kaviyachol. That's a pasuk in Daniel, right, when he chooses to present the navi a picture, which gives the navi an insight into how he conducts himself with man. So he presents the picture of a man in a white talis. And so you have all these other ideas that are associated with the white, which perhaps are absent, you know, from the blue. Right? It's true that the blue has its own ideas, but the Gemara, the Braisa here is establishing a hierarchy amongst the two, and perhaps the very scarcity of tcheles, right, is part of what informs the Braisa's opinion that the white is possessed of greater kedusha, greater necessity, greater urgency than the tcheles is. So that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi says that we're supposed to first put in the white strings to show that that is more chashuv, that there is this idea of value in the strings of the tzitzis, of a spiritual value, and that the white is possessed of a greater value, a greater kedusha, a greater urgency than is the blue. And so we have this idea that lechatchila, we're supposed to put the white in first, and then afterwards the blue. Right, but b'di'eved, said the Braisa, if you put the blue in first, im hiktim techeles lavan, then you're yotze. So can someone just tell me, how does this apply to the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, again, we're trying to interpret the Mishnah in light of this Braisa. The Mishnah says, techeles is nam ma'akiv the lavan, and we're saying this has something to do with the order. So can someone tell me, what does it mean that techeles is nam ma'akiv the lavan? Look at Rashi.
That's the question that I have.
Right, look at the third to last line of Rashi. Ella lahaktim. Third to last line of Rashi. Ella lahaktim. The third to last line of Rashi. And this was your suggestion.
Which line?
Third to last line of Rashi. On Lamed Ches Amud Aleph.
Which Rashi?
It's Ella lahaktim.
Three lines
from the bottom. So there's a later one, there's an earlier one. If you put the later one early, right, so then...
Is that clear what this means? Is that clear that this is talking about putting it in?
Okay.
Maybe it's wearing it.
Maybe it... Well,
who was talking about putting
You wear everything together.
But we're not talking about putting... You're supposed to come to show with it all set. Who's talking about putting it
in? When you're manufacturing the tzitzis, you put in the lavan first and then the tcheles. So what should I write here? Tcheles is not ma'akiv the lava, and what does that mean? That if...
Tcheles is not ma'akiv means mitzvah mem lamufor. That if it's not... You have them, but
You don't have any. You
can
use
four. You can use four white ones instead of
right.
No, that's what we said before. Now we're trying blue first, right? Then white, which is the wrong order, right? But it still is. Yes, it's still okay. So that's the idea. If you were making the tzitzis the ideal way, so then you would put the white first and then the blue. So, but now, right, that you put the blue first and then the white, it's not ma'akev. It doesn't prevent you from seizing the opportunity of tzitzis, even though you put the blue first. The tcheles, being in the wrong order, is not ma'akev, right, the lavan, and you still are fulfilling the entire mitzvah in spite of the fact that the tcheles sort of jumped the line and went before it was supposed to go. So that seems to be how Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, is interpreting the Mishnah, that the tcheles, the position of the tcheles, right, the order in which you put it in, right, is not ma'akev, right, the tzitzis. Again, the language is a little bit difficult. They should have said, ha-tcheles eino ma'akeves, and ha-lavan eino ma'akev. It sounds like the tcheles doesn't prevent the lavan from fulfilling its mitzvah, or the tcheles doesn't prevent the tcheles from fulfilling its mitzvah. Right? Tcheles. If you put the tcheles in the wrong order, you still get the mitzvah of tcheles. If you put the tcheles in the wrong order, you still get the mitzvah of lavan. It almost sounds like, just from the Mishnah, it almost sounds like it's clear that if you put the tcheles in the wrong order, that you still have the mitzvah of tcheles. The only question is, right? You may have thought that because the lavan was displaced from its position of prominence, therefore the lavan mitzvah you're not getting. And so the Mishnah comes along and tells us, don't worry. Not only did you get the tcheles, right, which you upgraded, and therefore the tcheles for sure is good. If you upgrade a mitzvah, so you're not going to lose that mitzvah, right? But the lavan, which is downgraded, you put it in second instead of first, you may have thought that you're going to lose the lavan. So the Mishnah tells me, no, you didn't even lose the lavan by downgrading it. The tcheles coming first is not ma'akev, and you're fulfilling the mitzvah of lavan.
Indeed, it's missive tzitzis. The entire chapter talks about tcheles. It doesn't say any place that it has to be loving. It doesn't say it should be loving. Learned. All it says is tcheles. Mostly tzitzis. I can't think that there's a. I couldn't accept tcheles. It doesn't say any place that it should be loving.
Okay, we're going to get to that a little bit more in detail next week, but the Gemara assumes apparently that in the Dar HaMidbar that most people used to wear white talisos. Okay, that's the assumption I'm going to make right now. In the desert, so most of the clothing was white woolen clothing. And when it says, right, v'nasata al tzitzis hakanaf, the tzitzis hakanaf means you should put a psil tcheles onto the tzitzis hakanaf, which is white, right? If the beged is white, so then the kanaf is white, and the tzitzit hakanaf, the loose strings are white. And so you have these loose. There's a mitzvah to put loose to leave or put loose strings on the edge, which are the same as the kanaf. And on those loose strings, you're supposed to bind or combine with a psil tcheles.
I follow you.
Okay, excellent. So this is what the Bryce is telling us. Tcheles is not ma'akev. The lavan tells us that even if you downgraded the lavan and gave its place of prominence to the tcheles, nonetheless, you are still yotzei the mitzvah. So once again, just like earlier, we quoted a braisa, we quoted the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and before we were able to proceed, right, we were so absorbed by the proper interpretation of the braisa that we took a detour to analyze the braisa before returning to apply it to our Mishnah. Over here as well, we quoted the Braisa, and the Gemara is about to get really involved in the Braisa. It's going to take a little detour before returning to applying this Braisa to the Mishnah. We did the application a little bit ahead of the Gemara, so we're one or two steps ahead. The Gemara feels that it needs to analyze the Braisa before it can apply the Braisa's words to the Mishnah. So the Gemara is focusing on the last two words of the Braisa, which says that if you downgraded the Lavan, even though you're Yotzei, but still, you're chaser a mitzvah. You're lacking a mitzvah. And the Gemara asks, "My quote chiser mitzvah unquote." What is this chiser mitzvah that the Braisa mentions? And the Gemara has two suggestions. One which it will reject, one which it will accept. The word ilema will almost always indicate the first of two suggestions, the one that will ultimately be rejected. The Gemara says, ilema, if you'll say that this is the interpretation, that's always the introduction of a suggestion that will ultimately be rejected. If you'll say that it means chiser mitzvah delavon, v'kiyam mitzvah detcheles, that you've only gotten one out of the two mitzvos, that you lost the mitzvah of Lavan because you downgraded it and you put it in at the wrong time, but you nonetheless fulfilled the mitzvah of Treles because you upgraded it and put it in even earlier in the more the more prominent spot. If that's what the Braisa means, so then we're stuck. There's trouble. Because according to Rebbe, whom we're trying to fit the Mishnah and the Braisa with the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe believes that akuvei me'akev ahagadi, that the mitzvah of Treles and the mitzvah of Lavan are me'akev one another. So if chiser mitzvah means that I lost the mitzvah because I downgraded the Lavan, I did not fulfill the mitzvah of Lavan, so that means that all I'm fulfilling is a mitzvah of Treles, and Rebbe says that the mitzvah of Treles without the mitzvah of Lavan is nothing, because the Lavan is me'akev the Treles. So if that is the correct interpretation of the Braisa, that chiser mitzvah means I got half the mitzvah, I got the treles half, but I'm missing the Lavan half, that doesn't work, because for Rebbe, we always round down, right? If you only got half, then you've got nothing. Somehow for Rebbe, you need to have gotten everything. So the Rebbe, akuvei me'akev ahadadi, they are me'akev one another, so how can we say that you're missing the mitzvah of Lavan? So rather, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it means shechiser mitzvah ve'asa mitzvah, that he's missing, something is missing from the mitzvah, but he also still has the asiyas ha-mitzvah. Somehow, he's got the mitzvah and he lost the mitzvah at the same time.
So what did he wear?
So he has the mitzvah.
What did he wear? So how
could that be? He wore tzitzis that was manufactured in the wrong order.
But he has both.
He does, but it was not manufactured in the right order.
Right.
I mean, you're supposed to put in certain strings first and others second. When I say manufactured, I mean the process of making the tzitzis. The proper procedure, right, was for making tzitzis was not followed. Whoever made the tzitzis, when I say making the tzitzis, I mean assembling the components. Right, the tzitzis has, there's a baguette, and there's also two lavan strings and two trela strings. There's a procedure for assembling them, right, but that procedure was not followed properly.
Put it together, why didn't it literally be done?
Because if I get a computer and it says that I need to put in this chip into this place, right, or take a lock, right, if you don't put all the components in together, it's not going to work.
The
Braisa says that. It says, mitzvah, lahakdim lavan l'treles. That's the third to last line on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'treles. That tells you that there's a certain instructions for assembly of tzitzis, and those instructions you would think that the tzitzis will not work if it's not assembled properly, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that even if you don't assemble it exactly properly, it still is going to work. Just like that easel is not assembled exactly properly, but Baruch Hashem, it still is holding up the board. Right, so it's still ma'akev, but it's chiser mitzvah. It's not as elegant as it might have been otherwise, but it still works. Let's see exactly what the category is.
When you buy it from a Sofer, what went in first, one went in second? I mean, you know, you're buying a finished product.
I buy it trusted.
You bought it.
The post can infer from this, as well as from some other halachos about how the tzitzis need to be assembled, that a person should only buy tzitzis from a sofer who's trusted. That's why if you go to the Sfarim store, you'll see that all of the pairs of tzitzis, or most of the pairs of tzitzis, come along with like a little hashkacha. There's a little piece of paper that says this tzitzis is certified by the badatz of wherever, right? That it was manufactured in accordance with all of the instructions for assembly of tzitzis, and it's lishma, and it was spun properly, and everything else. And absent that, so then you really don't have any way of knowing whether the tzitzis is kosher or whether it's not kosher.
Does it go for tefillin also?
For tefillin also.
Somebody wrote one parsha before the other parsha. You know, he doesn't write it the order.
There are halachos for assembling tefillin, and if they're not assembled properly, then they're not going to work. And so it's important to know that you're buying it from somebody, a certified manufacturer.
Then you
Right? You should buy it from a certified manufacturer, a licensed retailer, otherwise you don't know what type of thing you're getting. Right? It's the same as any other merchandise. The mitzvahs have value to them. Exactly, like a hechsher.
I never thought that the manufacturing of the product would be a cause for loss of a mitzvah in the end user. The end user buys tchelet with lavan, and he's expecting that he fulfilled the mitzvah of wearing lavan with tchelet. He doesn't know what went into the making of it before. I mean, you could say from today to tomorrow, but that's, but you know.
That's one way to do it. But the problem is, there's also a halachos about how to manufacture the strings. You'll have to go upstate, you know, and spin the wool into strings. It's already going to be, yeah. Okay, guys, let's try to bring this to a close. Don't worry, I have a pace, and I'm still on the pace. Right, so we'll try to bring this to a close by 10:30. So we're going to read another two lines of Gemara, and then we'll have some closing comments in summary. So Rav says, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Shechiser mitzvah, the asa mitzvah. You lost the mitzvah, but you also did the mitzvah. And the Gemara wants to know, my chiser mitzvah, what does it mean? As Mr. Schwartz wanted to say, that you're lacking the hider mitzvah. It's not just that you're lacking the hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah is usually, you've got the mitzvah, and then you could go beyond that. Over here, lo avad, mitzvah min ha-mubchar. The mitzvah is not the choicest mitzvah, right? The word choicest we're most accustomed to in the terms of meat. You can get a meat that tastes really, really good when you barbecue it, or you can have a meat that's going to taste a little bit, you know, stringy and dry when you barbecue it. And the fact is, both of them are going to fill your stomach in the end of the day, right? But one of them is a choice meat, and the other one is just not choice meat. So the same thing when you have a mitzvah, it's not that you say the choice meat is mehudar, and the other meat is not mehudar. The other meat is just like it's not what you want for your barbecue experience. It's lacking something, not lacking so much that it's not gonna, you know, fill you up, but it's lacking something, which means that it takes a little bit off of the experience. So the same thing, that lo avad mitzvah min ha-muvchar. It's not that you did the mitzvah, just that, you know, you didn't have that this, you know, super expensive type of mustard that, you know, that brings the meat to its, you know, to its best, you know, taste. It's that the meat itself, right, is not the choicest type of meat. You're missing something from the experience. The lo avad mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Okay, so let's just take a look for a second. So we explained what it means that tcheles is not ma'akev lavan, right? It means that if you put the blue first, so good, you upgraded the blue and you got that, but you're missing still you would have thought that you're missing the white because you downgraded it, kamash malon, that you still have the white. What does it mean that the lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles? Right? In the first two cases, the Rashi and Tosfos interpretation of the Mishnah, so there's a direct parallel. Either you got four white and the lack of blue doesn't pose a problem, or you got four blue and the lack of white doesn't pose a problem. What would be the parallel to this? Lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles.
It's in the lavan first, and then
which is perfectly all right.
If he puts in the white first, and then he puts in the blue, so
okay.
So you would have thought that what? What would you have? That is the best, right? So why does the Mishnah need to tell me that the lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles? Right? The Mishnah only talks, right, when there's some sort of a misconception that I would have suffered under, and then the Mishnah comes, it speaks in order to disabuse me of that misconception. So here there's a genuine misconception that you may have thought that because you downgraded the lavan that you're not yotze anything. But what type of misconception is this line of the Mishnah coming to dispel?
You have four blue. You only have blue. It should be good. So that's why it's maybe telling us.
You're going back to the first interpretation. But the problem is that according to Rebbe, right, we're trying to fit the Mishnah in with Rebbe. According to Rebbe, so this would not be kosher. Right? We say the lavan is ma'akev the tcheles in this sense, that if you're missing the white strings, that you're not yotze anything. So we need to say that this, you're not yotze here. You're not yotze here. But in some sense, the lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles. What sense is that? Yes, Alvin.
I just want to point out that in this week's parsha, that in Korach, one of the challenges that Korach gives to Moshe talks about this. Now, if the
a talis shekula tcheles,
the entire garment is made of right, You still need a single stream of tachelis in the fringes, and the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're on the right track. Did you look ahead?
No. Yeah.
It's the next line of Gemara. You're mechavin to the next line of Gemara. Right, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. So let's read it inside. Once Alvin's opened the door to the Gemara's answer, let's see it inside. The Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama. I skipped a line. So the Gemara says, Hatenach Lavan De'ino Ma'akev Esatchela. So it's nice, it's Noach, it's easy to explain now what it means that Tcheles is not Ma'akev. Put it in the wrong order? Let me redo this. Okay, so let's put this in the right place now. As we say, so white first and then blue is okay. So the Gemara says that's lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles. You don't need to put the lavan in first, right, in order for the tcheles to work. I'm going to have to redo everything that I just said in a second, right? But what about tcheles de'ino ma'akev es ha'lavan ma'hi? So what does it mean, right, that tcheles is not ma'akev the lavan? What's the opposite? Right, what's the inverse? There needs to be some misconception that the Mishnah is coming to disabuse us of. And Rami Bar Chama says, "Lo nitzricha ela l'talis shakula techeles." We only need this for a case of a talis which is all blue. So again, keeping in mind Mr. Schwartz's comment, where do we see that the lavan should come first? Because it says hakanaf, min kanaf, that the first thing that you need to do is have loose strings that are made of the same material, the same color as the garment, followed by binding them with a pasil techeles. Well, if the garment is blue, so then the loose strings that are of the same color as the garment will also be blue. So there, I might think that the mitzvah is to put the techeles first, because that's the min kanaf, and then to put the white around the techeles, to have the white second. The min kanaf always comes first, and then whatever is not the min kanaf will always come second. So that's the notion, you may have thought then that if you put the white first, you're not yotze, because you put the min kanaf second, and you deprived it of its place of prominence, which is first. So for that, the Mishnah needs to say that in an all blue, garment, right, then if you put... Okay, I'm going to have to rewrite the first one. If you put white first, it is... Okay, this one I wrote wrong again, so I'll have to... Okay. Blue first. Okay, now we finally got the right thing up here. That lavan is not ma'akev the tcheles means that if you put the blue first, it still is okay. Tcheles is not ma'akev the lavan means that if an all blue garment, right, and you put the white first, it's also okay. And so we've got both halves of the Mishnah, so we got 1, 2, and 3. One last comment. We saw that when the Gemara turned and said, V'rabanan, right, present your rebuttal, that may have indicated that the Gemara favored the position of the Rabbanan. Now, we have something a little bit similar when it comes to interpreting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that, let's say that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Lema masnisin to loka Rebbe. That was the question that we started off with yesterday, and we started off with today. And then presumably, right, this whole discussion is offering Rebbe an opportunity to interpret the Mishnah consistently with his position. So what that might suggest, and this is something which the Baal HaMa'or draws our attention to, right, is that perhaps the Gemara, right, by offering Rebbe the opportunity to give this rebuttal, to give this reinterpretation of the Mishnah, perhaps the Gemara is indicating to us that it favors the position of Rebbe. Right? Otherwise, let's say, okay, the Mishnah's not like Rebbe, fine, let the Mishnah be not like Rebbe. Rebbe doesn't have to have every Mishnah go like him. If we're trying to make the Mishnah consistent with the opinion of Rebbe, it indicates that we give the Rebbe's opinion a certain gravity and a certain stature, right, which the Baal Amar wants to use to claim that we actually paskin like Rebbe. Now let me leave you with this thought. What would it mean for us today if we paskin like Rebbe and we paskin like the Baal Amar? What would it mean for us today?
That we are not Yosemite Tzitzit, that's what. Unless we have real Tchelet, which we don't.
We do.
No, it's not real.
According to Rebbe, not only is this worthless, right? I'm not fulfilling any mitzvah with the absence of the treles, right? But it might even be of a transgression, a violation of Baal Tosef. The Torah told me that if I don't have treles, I shouldn't bother with anything. And here I am making up, right, a new mitzvah. Now you'll tell me, right, that maybe there's a mitzvah derabanan. Maybe there's a mitzvah derabanan. Shelo tishtakach toras tzitzis. That's a big debate amongst mefarshim whether or not, according to Rebbe, there is a mitzvah derabanan. But the Ramban says that the Baal Amar himself never wore tzitzis. He never wore tzitzis. He didn't have tcheles. He felt that the halacha is tcheles is me'akiv the lavan like Rebbe. He never wore tzitzis. He felt that there was no mitzvah derabanan. There was no mitzvah derabanan, and that it will be a violation of Baal Tosef, therefore, to wear the tzitzis that we're wearing. So this dispute between Rebbe and the Chachamim, right, between the Ramban and the Baal Amar over how to paskin, has really major ramifications, right, for nowadays, and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow will discover that that there's a compromise that some people make between the two of us. So,
to be continued.
Probably. Amen. 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 Yeah, please.
Thank you for the trouble. Oh,
you're welcome. Thank you. But does someone have a give me a yeah.